The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Dale O'Shills of Church of the Redeemer in Gaithersburg, Maryland. I want to invite you to tune in to our weekly radio program titled Practical Living right here on WAVA every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And I also would encourage you to join us for one of our weekend worship services. All the information about services and locations can be found at our website at church-redeemer.org. That's church-redeemer.org.
Welcome to Practical Living with Dale O'Shields, Senior Pastor of Church of the Redeemer in Maryland. We pray that through this message, you will learn how to apply God's Word and truth to your life. Stay with us as we discover God's truths that will transform us.
So I'm going to talk about today and the next several weeks. I'm going to talk about how do we stand firm? How do we stay sane in the midst of a world that's going crazy? In the midst of a world that is demonized, and we see demonic activity all around us, how do we stay sane in the midst of this kind of an environment? I'm going to give you today one word. We'll look at four or five things over the next several weeks, depending upon how much time we have for each of these different topics, and I'll kind of have to see how it develops over these next several weeks together. But I want to talk to you today about one word that is essential if you're going to stay sane in our crazy world. And here is the word for the weekend, and this is the word reverence. Would you say the word with me? This is essential. If you're going to stay sane, stand firm in a crazy world, you have to practice something called reverence. I'm going to unload this for you today, unpack it so you'll understand it. There are three aspects of reverence that you're going to need in your life to stand firm or to stay sane in this crazy world. The first kind of reverence that you must have is a clear reverence for God. This is where all health begins. It all begins with God. And by the way, it's a very simple statement, reverence for God, but just because something is simple does not in any way mean it's not profound. Many of the most profound things in life are very simple. God makes it simple so that we can understand it. And so don't in some way think, well, it's just a simple statement. It can't be very, very, very deep. Yes, it's very deep to understand what reverence is all about, because this is where reverence for God is where all of your health begins. Your spiritual health, your emotional health, your mental health, your relationship health, all of it begins with a reverence for God. When did sickness and pathology and brokenness enter into our world? It entered into our world in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve lost their reverence for God. God said, here are two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to never eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to reverence me by obeying my commands and doing what I'm asking you to do. And Adam and Eve, beguiled by the serpent, made the choice to not reverence what God asked them to do. And instead, they went their way and they listened to the voice of the serpent, and their failure to reverence God created not only sin, but death and sickness and all kind of brokenness. And by the time you get to the next chapter, their family's falling apart and Cain is killing his brother Abel. And by the time you get to the chapter six, just three chapters later, the world is in such a mess that God has to send a great flood. See, things go down very quickly when you don't have a reverence for God. And part of the problem with our world today, and I'm not just standing on a soapbox sort of berating the darkness, but I am telling you this, part of the problem with our world today, the big problem with our world today, is we've lost our reverence for God. That's why we have such evil around us, a lack of reverence for God. Now, what is reverence? If you have a pencil or a pen, you may want to write down this definition of reverence, because these are the words that are vital to understand. It means honor, respect, awe, love, and loyalty. Five things. Honor, respect, awe, love, and loyalty. Honor, respect, awe, A-W-E, love, and loyalty. Okay. Towards someone. Here's the thing you must understand. Unless you have honor, respect, awe, love, and loyalty toward God, you will never worship God. I'm going to bring together those two terms, reverence and worship. Because reverence and worship always go together. There's a key relationship between reverence and worship. What you honor, respect, give awe to, love, and loyalty to will be what you worship. Are you tracking with me? You can't separate those two terms because reverence is what leads to worship, and worship is not really worship without reverence. You can go to church, attend church anywhere, and walk through the doors and sing the songs and listen to a sermon and never really engage with God because you came and you went through the motions, but there was no connection, there was no reverence, there was no honor from your heart toward God, or no awe in terms of who God is, no recognition and loyalty and love toward Him. And you might go through the rituals, but you haven't really worshiped, because you can't really worship God unless there's reverence for God, because reverence for God is what creates and stimulates the worship of God. And listen closely, it is the worship of God that brings wholeness to your life. It's connecting with my Creator is what brings wholeness to me. And if I'm disconnected from my Creator, I'm disconnected from the source of wholeness in my life. That's why false worship brings dysfunction. Reverent, proper worship brings wholeness to your life. This is the beginning point for spiritual health, for mental health and emotional health, is to have a reverence for God that results in worship. I want you to notice the very first commandment that God gave us. Moses is on the mountain with God. He's receiving the Ten Commandments. And the very first thing out of the mouth of God and inscribed on tablets of stone with the finger of God is this commandment: you shall have no other gods before me. Now, that's the very first thing that God speaks to Moses on the mountain and inscribes in the Ten Commandments: you shall have no other gods before me. In the second commandment, he goes on to describe false idols and images that we are not to worship, but it starts with this idea that we're to have reverence for God. Reverence for God. Did Jesus teach this? He certainly did. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with... Why do you think Jesus rehearsed or repeated the word all four times in that one verse, that one statement that he makes? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Obviously, he's quoting from the Old Testament Shema and the Old Testament law, but he's describing the kind of love that we're to have for God, the kind of reverence that we're to have for God. So reverence produces worship, and worship produces health and wholeness in your life. You will never have health and wholeness to your fullest expression without worship. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. I'm reading from the Amplified Version because it helps us to understand these Hebrew words. The reverent fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord means to reverence God. Anytime you see the word fear of the Lord in the Bible, it doesn't mean to be afraid of God in the sense of cowering in fear. It means to revere Him, to give you those five words again, to love, to respect, to have awe, love, and loyalty for God. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping Him. Notice the connection between reverence and worship. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping Him and regarding this truly awesome, is the beginning and preeminent part of... It's the wisest thing you can do, is to be in the reverent fear and worship of God. It's the starting point and its essence, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding and spiritual insight. In chapter 14 of the same book, Proverbs, in the reverent fear of the Lord, being reverent with God, fearing God appropriately, there is strong confidence, and His children will always have a place of refuge. So the Bible says when we fear God, there's a confidence that comes to us. There's a health that comes to us. And the Hebrew word for confidence here, also in the Hebrew language, means security that you have. And you'll never be healthy without being secure. You need security in your spirit and in your soul. So the primary need of your life, are you listening to me today? The primary need in your life, if you're going to be healthy, is a vertical relationship with God. above and beyond people, things, anything else in your life. The most important thing, if you're going to stay sane in this crazy world, you better have a reverent relationship with God. Okay. This was so strong to me as I was preparing yesterday that I wrote a statement down that I'm going to read for you because I didn't want to miss anything that I felt like God was downloading to me. So listen to what the statement says. No matter where you have been in your faith, no matter where you've been in your faith, you, this is for you, all of us today, no matter where you've been in your faith in recent days, in recent months, in recent years, or even in recent decades, it is time to get serious about your relationship with God. Let me read it to you again. No matter where you have been in your faith in recent days, in recent months, in recent years, or even in recent decades. You say, well, my past is really hanging over me. It doesn't matter. Let's forget about what that is. Today is a new day. And no matter where you've been in your relationship with God, in recent days, in recent weeks, in recent months, in recent years, or in recent decades, just forget all that for a moment. It is time today to get serious about your relationship with God. And I wrote one more word down in my notes, and that was the word please. I beg you today. The world is crazy, and the world's going to get crazier. Are you hearing me? The world is crazy, and the world is going to get crazier. It's going to get crazier. And what's going to keep you sane in the midst of it? What will allow you to stand firm in the midst of it? You need a reverence for God. It has to be your primary source of strength. It keeps you sane. And that reverence for God has to be something that's very personal to you. You can't borrow it from somebody else. You can lean on somebody else's reverence for a period of time. They can help you. But you're at some point in time, you're going to be in a situation where you need the reverence of God in your own life, in your own soul, in your own relationship with God. Hebrews, the writer says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, the kingdom of this world can be shaken, but the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Let me give you a story about this in the Bible. There's a time in the life of David. He was not yet king of Israel at this point in time. He was being pursued by Saul. Saul was the king at this point. David would be the second king, and Saul was trying to kill him. King Saul was trying to kill David. So David's on the run with his men. He has 600 men with him, and he's on the run throughout all the different caves and the wilderness of Judea. And during this particular period of time, David and his men had gone out to fight a battle. And they'd been away from their camp where they were. It's a place called Ziklag. If you read in the Bible, it's 1 Samuel chapter 30. And while they were away from their camp at Ziklag, some enemies had come in and raided their camp and burned the camp down and taken all the wives and children captive and stolen everything of value there. And so David and his men come back from battle, and they find that their camp there at Ziklag was completely destroyed. Nothing left. I mean, it was a terrible time. Completely ransacked and completely destroyed, and nothing is left. And it's such a serious, terrible time that the men, David's 600 men, said, we're going to kill you, David. And they started talking about stoning David. And I want you to notice what David did. Would you agree that's a terrible time? If everybody around you says we're going to kill you, you're in trouble. Okay. Everybody around David said, we're going to kill you because if you've allowed this to happen. You're our leader and you're responsible for this. And so everybody in David's world wanted to kill him. Now, you may have had some bad times, but chances are you've never been that bad where everybody in your world wanted to kill you. Okay, but David is in that place in his life. And I want you to notice what David did. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Please read the last sentence with me. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Where did David find his strength? He certainly didn't get it from the people around him, did he? He found his strength because he had a vertical relationship with God, a reverence for God that allowed him to continue, even in the most difficult circumstances, to continue his worship of God. And if you continue to read that passage, you'll see that God empowered David to go back and capture everything, or recapture and restore everything that had been stolen from him, because he had a relationship with God. Dear ones, please understand today that if you're going to find spiritual and emotional and mental health in the midst of a crazy world, your strength is going to be found not from people. Your strength is going to be found not from things. Your strength is going to be found from your personal vertical relationship with God. You must reverence God first and foremost in your life. That, I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm not even going to apologize for it, because I want it to come across to you today. That's what you need more than anything else in your entire life. It's a crazy world, and it's only going to get crazier as we move toward the second coming of Jesus. And to stay sane, you're only going to stay sane. You can't stay sane if you're leaning on the world around you to keep you sane. To stay sane, you've got to have a relationship with God that keeps you sane, because the world can't do that for you. Stuff can't do that for you. You need that personal interaction and relationship with God. So wherever you've been in your life, wherever you've been enough, you say, well, I've been messing up. I've been away from God for a while. Okay, fine. But today, say, I'm coming back. I'm reestablishing my connection with God. Today, I'm getting serious about my relationship with God. Number two, the second thing that we need is reverence for God's instructions. I'm going to cover this really quickly so I can get to my third point, but I do want to talk about this just for a moment. This is kind of implied in what we said before, but I did want to bring it out a little bit separately. Because reverence for God is shown by reverence for God's Word. One of the ways that you show that you revere God is you revere His Word. You revere His commandments. It's a wonderful day in our lives when we finally realize that God's instructions to us in this book are not designed to be a burden to us, but they're designed to be a blessing to us. See, a lot of people live their lives in following God as though this book is a burden. Oh, my goodness, there's another thing. I've got to stop this and start that. My goodness, this book is just a book that brings burden to my life. It's so hard to follow God. No, it's not hard to follow God. When you make a decision to obey God, He will give you the power to do what His Word asks you to do. He never asks you to do anything that He doesn't provide the power through His Spirit to enable you to do it. So it's not hard to be a Christian. It's hard to be a Christian on your own if you're trying to do it in your own strength and in your own power without that worship relationship with God. But if you've got that going for you, there's strength and power to allow you to find that this book is not a burden. This book is a blessing to you, okay? So every time you open up the pages of this book and you discover an instruction, a commandment, you say, oh my goodness, this is something that will bring blessing into my life. Notice how John describes it. In fact, this is the love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. So when you begin to understand this, it changes everything in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 28 says it this way. As God was giving His people the law, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands, carefully follow all His commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth, and these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you do what? Obey the Lord your God. What I hope will happen in your life, as I hope that every time you pick up this book, or maybe you read your Bible on your iPad or your phone or wherever you're reading the Word from, wherever you might pick up your Bible, that every time you read, you open, so I'm looking for a blessing from this book today. This book is not a burden to me. This book is a blessing to me. Amen. Jesus said this, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And then we find these words as well of Jesus in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, what? Obey my commandments. So how do you stay sane in a crazy world? Do we agree the world's crazy? It's a crazy world. It's a demonized world. How do you stay sane as believers in a crazy world? First of all, you have a reverence for God. The fear and reverence of God begins to take control of your life, and it leads to genuine worship from your heart to Him, that you have a meaningful personal connection, ongoing connection with God. It's not ritual. It's not just something you do because it's a pattern of your life. You do it because there's a connection with God. And then also, there's a reverence for everything that God says, because this book is a blessing to me. It's not a burden to me. And let's go now to the final point together of these three. Third point is you have to have reverence for God-designed life rhythms. I'm going to talk about life rhythms for just a little bit, because this might be an unusual phrase for some of you. What is a rhythm? A rhythm is a beat, is it not? Right? That's what a rhythm is. So oftentimes, like in our worship team or music that you hear, there's a rhythm that's set, and it's usually set by the rhythm instruments. Sometimes that rhythm instrument will be a rhythm guitar or rhythm piano, and certainly by a drums. Drums set a rhythm to a song. And if one of the players get out of rhythm, everybody knows it, correct? You ever heard that phrase? Well, he's marching to the beat of his own drummer, okay? Right? What does that mean? He's out of step with what everybody else is doing, okay? So it means he's not in rhythm. What I want you to know is that when God established the world, He established a rhythm to our world. And our job is to get in rhythm with God's rhythm. There's a rhythm to the world. Let me prove this to you and give you a couple examples. What's the rhythm of the world? The rhythm of the world is that you don't wake up every morning wondering which way the sun's going to rise, do you? Every morning it rises in the east and sets in the west, right? You don't wake up one morning and say, I wonder if it's coming from the north today. No, it never comes from the north. It always comes from the east and goes to the west, right? Always, okay? In fact, the Bible is clear about rhythms. Look at what it says here in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 22. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest. That's a rhythm, okay? You have to do this first before you have this, okay? And so you can't expect this if you haven't done this. And so there's a rhythm to life. And so there's a time when it's appropriate. The springtime is when you do your planting, and the fall is when you do your harvesting. You don't generally do your planting in the fall and try to harvest, because you've got winter in between there. And so the Bible says as long as the earth remains, there will be a planting and a harvest. It's a rhythm, and cold and heat. In other words, once there's a summer, there's going to be a winter, and there are four seasons as we know them here in our area: fall, winter, spring, and summer. And we know that they have an order. We know that once one finishes, we can anticipate what the next one is going to be. Now, it varies in terms of the actual time that it actually arrives. When winter arrives, we know certain periods of those times, but we have a rhythm to life: summer and winter, day and night. You don't wonder, is there going to be a day and a night? No, there's always a day and always a night. So there's a rhythm to life. The writer of Hebrews says it, Ecclesiastes says it this way: for everything there's a rhythm, there's a season, a time for every activity under the sun. God's established rhythms and order for our life.
Perhaps as you have been listening to today's broadcast, you felt a stirring in your heart, something that reminded you that you need to get something right in your life with God. The first way to start in that journey with God is to open your heart to Jesus Christ, to make Him the Lord of your life, to turn over all your life to Him. And that begins with a very simple prayer. I want to lead you in that prayer right now, and it's a prayer that you can pray right where you are. Say these words: Jesus, I invite You into my life today to forgive me of all my sins. I need You. I want You. I want You to take charge of my life. Be my Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. Now, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says, when we call on God's name, when we call on the name of His Son Jesus, there is salvation that is brought to our lives. He changes us from the inside out. And the Bible says that if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And that's what's happened to you today as you've opened your heart to Christ. Let me encourage you. You need to take the next step. The next step is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church where you're studying God's Word. And make sure you get a copy of God's Word and begin to read it. Spend some time each day in prayer. You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Practical Living with Dale O'Shields, Senior Pastor of Church of the Redeemer in Maryland. If you would like more information, please visit our website at church-redeemer.org. May God bless you and make you a blessing.
Hi, this is Pastor Dale O'Shills of Church of the Redeemer in Gaithersburg, Maryland. I want to invite you to tune in to our weekly radio program titled Practical Living, right here on WAVA every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And I also would encourage you to join us for one of our weekend worship services. All the information about services and locations can be found at our website at church-redeemer.org. That's church-redeemer.org.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.